You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome back to the Victory is Assured broadcast, brought to you by Kurt Owen Ministries. For over 26 years, Kurt Owen has been helping people worldwide learn how to live victoriously by applying the promises in the Bible to their everyday life. As a part of this ministry, Kurt Owen has assisted in starting many, many churches throughout the world. This includes a very powerful local church by the name of Real Life Church in Port St. Lucie. For over 10 years, Pastor Terry Owen has been helping people throughout the area learn how to live miraculously by applying the promises in the Bible to their everyday life. Every Wednesday and Sunday, Pastor Terry Owen brings a dynamic and powerful message at Real Life Church. Today, we will be continuing to learn from Pastor Terry what the Bible has to say as to how we should deal with this coronavirus.
And at the appointed time, Jesus died for our sin. And the sin that he died for are not just the sins that we commit regularly. It's the sin that Adam committed in the Garden of Eden that gave us a corrupt nature. And once that sin was dealt with, then everything was available to us. We're gonna go over to Mark chapter 2. And I just want to put this in perspective. So what we know happened at the crucifixion was that Jesus took sin in his body on that tree, right? We have a scripture that says that sin was nailed to the cross, right? We know that the scripture says in Galatians 3:13 that Jesus was made a curse for us, right? So we know that he took on the curse of disobedience. We know that he took on sin in his own body on that tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, right? And so we know that he did that. So here in Mark chapter 2, and this has been a familiar scripture. Pastor Kurt's been ministering on this lately. And we're going to start in verse 1. It says, And again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. And they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And you know, recently Pastor Kerr was teaching on this, and we need to really truly look at this and see what it says and not just skim over it. It says here, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Why did the paralytic's friends bring him there? Was it because he was sinful? No, the four friends brought the paralytic lying on a bed, chop up the roof of the house and lower him down so that he would receive what? Healing. Wasn't even interested in the sin. I don't care if he's a sinner or not. I want my friend well, right? That was the heart. The heart of the friends were, "I want him to be healed." Yes. They didn't care about the sin as an issue. Right. And so here, Jesus ignores the fact that he's laying on a bed. He sees their faith. He knows that their faith is being applied. They believe that Jesus can heal him. Yes. They obviously believe that Jesus can heal him because they tore a roof off a house and lowered this guy down in the middle of a service. The roof is coming off. There's dirt flying down, rocks coming down, pieces of roof falling in front of Jesus as he's teaching. And they're lowering their friend down. And he says, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Well, this is not the expectation that they have. The expectation is not, "Hey, my sin is getting forgiven." The expectation is, "I want my friend healed." And yet Jesus is talking about sin. Why is he talking about sin? Because it is the one obstacle for someone receiving all of the benefits of God. And if we can take the obstacle out of the way, then you can receive everything that Jesus has. And what Jesus has is life, health, prosperity, restored relationships, a restored, healed mind, a sound mind. See, everything is inside of life, the Zoe life. Every provision is already available to you. And how do you access it? Well, number one, your sin has to be forgiven. So Jesus did this once for the whole world. All sin has been forgiven. So how do we receive forgiveness of sin? We accept it. We accept it by faith. We say, Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins, that you're the Son of God, that you died for my sins, and that you're alive. That's what we're celebrating today, is the resurrection of the King of Glory, that you are alive. You are no longer dead. You are not sick. You are not hurting. You are not sad. You are alive. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the Great I Am. And we receive that that's who he is. And when we receive him as our Savior and as our Lord, all of the sin, starting from Adam to the day that you lay your body down to rest, is dealt with. And that sin was the only obstacle for you receiving all of the other benefits included in the finished work of Christ. So once sin is taken out of the way, which remember, Jesus had not gone to the cross yet. So he has the power to forgive sin because he is the Son of God. And he doesn't do anything that he doesn't see his Father do. And he doesn't say anything he doesn't hear his Father say. Right? Never. So we know this is the will of God. Son, your sins are forgiven. Now, the other thing is, this is not obvious to everybody sitting around whether or not the sins are forgiven, because there's no external sign to say it's true, right? So the next verse says, and some of the scribes were sitting there reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? So now here, this brings up the question, is Jesus the Son of God? Well, only if he's the Son of God can he forgive sins. So isn't he in very essence testifying of his deity there? That yes, I am the Son of God. Yes, I have emptied myself of my divine privileges, but I still am in perfect communion with the Father, and because of that, I know what his will is. But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise and take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out of the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. So what does this have to do with Resurrection Sunday? What does this have to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Because he said it is finished. And once you have received Jesus as your Savior, your sin has been washed away. You are a brand new creature that never existed before, that old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new to you who believe. And because you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that puts you in the place to receive all of the other benefits. Because the only obstacle causing you to not receive what Jesus has for you was sin. And sin has been dealt with on the cross. And when you accept the forgiveness of your sin, you receive all of the benefits, not just eternal life, because everybody's waiting for the sweet by and by. Oh, we'll get to heaven one day, and what a glorious day it will be. Yes, it will be a glorious day. I do not deny that, but I'm telling you, the day starts the moment you receive Jesus as your Savior. Health comes. You receive health the same way you receive salvation. You receive redemption from poverty and lack the same way that you receive salvation. You receive your relationships restored the same way you receive salvation. Whatever you have need of, Jesus has already paid for. He shed his blood to provide for us redemption. What do you need to be redeemed from? Because you receive it the same way that you receive Jesus as your Savior. There are no works involved in this. Now, it's an interesting thing because we all know, according to Romans, that we have to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and then we are saved. True? Okay, so simply put, according to Romans, believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sin, and that God raised him from the dead. That's what we believe. You believe in your heart, and then there is a confession with your mouth that must be made. The confession with our mouth that is, you know, we can say it any different way, but what needs to be conveyed is, Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I receive you. Jesus, take over my life. Be my Lord. So if you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to just think about it. You know, like I said, my husband did not get saved because he loved God. He got saved because he was dying and he saw an insurance plan so that he'd have fire insurance. And there, you know what? He's in the kingdom of God, and now he's a mighty man of God. And so it doesn't matter what place you're in. If you see and the Holy Spirit's prompting you right now, yes, I want to accept Jesus. I don't know what all it means yet, but we're going to figure it out together. Then I want you to say this with me. What is necessary is that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, and that God raised him from the dead. And the scripture says in Romans that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, then you are saved. It's that simple. There's nothing complicated about it. We might complicate it sometimes, but God has made it oh so simple. So say this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for sending Jesus, your Son, to die for my sins. I believe that you raised him from the dead. Jesus, I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord. You are my Savior. I receive you, and I receive that I am cleansed, and that I am clean, and that I am yours. Holy Spirit, fill me to overflowing. Teach me to walk according to God's word and God's way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, if that's the first time that you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you to send us an email at connect@reallifefl.com, because that is the beginning of your journey and not the end of your destination. There is so much more available. Amen. Amen.
We know that you have received revelation knowledge from this message. We invite you to continue to listen to the message from Pastor Terry at the next regularly scheduled broadcast of Victory is Assured. Pastor Terry would like to personally invite you to come experience miraculous words of life in person at Real Life Church in Port St. Lucie. During these unusual times, Wednesday night services will be held live on YouTube. You can easily get to the live stream by going to Real Life PSL and then clicking on the Watch Live button. Our Sunday services are being held here at the church as they always have been, as well as on YouTube. So, if you want to experience a live service in person, come on into our Sunday service. We would love to have you. Or, like we said, if you are more comfortable enjoying the Sunday service in real time on YouTube, simply go to reallifepsl.com and click on the Watch Live button. Either way, you will be fortified with the pure, rich Word of God equipped for today's life. Real Life Church, the most loving church in the world, where miracles happen every day. Real Life Church is an outreach ministry of Kurt Owen Ministries.
There's more than one way to support the WCNO ministry. Prayerfully and financially are only the two most obvious. But did you realize how important it is for you to let the programmers and corporate underwriters know that you heard about them right here at WCNO Radio? That's right. Always mention the call letters WCNO when you write, call, or visit the